This episode of Dollars and Cents is brought to you by Oriental, AIG, MCS, and Amy Taylor Fernandez Voiceovers.
Hi, everybody. This is Michelle Cantro-Vasquez, host of Dollars and Cents, a news is my business podcast. With us today is U.S. Department of Labor Deputy Secretary Julie Hsu. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
So let's get right to it. First of all, what's the reason for your visit?
Well, I'm here in Puerto Rico because President Biden has made it very clear that the entire administration is going to do what we need to do to commit to the people of Puerto Rico, to helping to rebuild Puerto Rico's economy, to helping to make sure that there are good jobs on the island and that the people of Puerto Rico have access to those jobs.
And does that come as a result of perhaps the last 5 years that we've had?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
It comes because of the last 2.5 years in which we've seen just global devastation caused by the pandemic. But for Puerto Rico in particular, as you mentioned, it's been 5 years since devastating hurricanes followed by other disasters that have made recovery very difficult,
right.
But that have also made the people of Puerto Rico feel like they've been left out or forgotten from economic prosperity, and we don't want that to be the case.
It's been a rough go, for sure. It's been one thing after the other. I've been here for it. It hasn't been fun, but at the same time, Puerto Rico loves this word, and it's resiliency.
Yes.
People will get up time and time again. So I know that you met with local government officials so far, and I know that Governor Pierluisi was on the agenda yesterday. Is there anything that you can tell us about what was discussed at that meeting at La Fortaleza?
So we've had a whirlwind of meetings with unions, with workers, with community-based organizations, with, as you say, the governor and the state-level labor and the commerce and economic development agencies,
mm-hmm.
As well as with local workforce development leaders and two mayors, the mayor of Mayagüez and the mayor of Las Marias.
And what did you find? Because you've definitely left San Juan. And those towns are completely different in terms of what they need and what they have. What did you find?
So that was very important, right? When we look at economic development and good jobs, we want to be sure that we're not just focusing on the large cities, but on the people who've been left out before, who oftentimes government doesn't always think of first.
Mm-hmm.
So what we found is there are dedicated folks at the local level. We went to an American Job Center.
Okay.
Then they are really trying to think about how to meet the needs of people who are looking for jobs in a creative way, right?
Mm-hmm. That comes with education, that comes with investment, right?
It comes with education, investment, outreach. It also comes with building really good partnerships on the ground. So we talked about how the local workforce board could maybe help to convene employers in the area along with labor representatives to build partnerships so that we're training people for the jobs that are coming to
right.
that city.
And you know, that's something that's been said time and time again. The universities have to align their curricula to the needs of the industries that are hiring.
We heard that throughout our meetings. And of course, that is not an issue that's unique to Puerto Rico,
right?
And educational institutions are kind of notorious for moving slowly. But I have seen that they understand that if they're not educating students and training people for the jobs that are here now and coming in the future,
they leave.
Students do not, right. And that's so I think there needs to be system alignment, which was one of the priorities that we have in being here,
okay.
is bringing together people from all different sectors and making sure that we have alignment. So, for example, today we were at the Job Corps, the Ramey Job
mm-hmm.
Corps Center, and we found there that there is training of young people who for a long time have been sort of left out, right,
mm-hmm.
or considered unemployable perhaps. But they are hungry and they want to work and they want to imagine a better future for themselves, and they're being trained on things like advanced solar, on medical technician,
mm-hmm.
on work that is on culinary skills, in demand work that is needed in Puerto Rico.
I wonder if Raimi is also tackling the aerospace industry, because you have a couple of major companies at that airport.
Right. So part of the beauty of, I think, any program that works and is relevant and is, you know, really helping to build the future workforce is that it has to evolve with whatever the changing needs of the economy are. We also are working to anticipate the jobs that are coming, right? So with the $1 trillion in infrastructure investment that President Biden helped to deliver, we know that there's already been over $600 million in resources dedicated to Puerto Rico.
Right.
About half of that is in roads and bridges alone. And so knowing that we want to repair roads and bridges, that we want to build broadband here, that we want to ensure that everyone who turns on their water pipe gets clean water, we want also people who live in Puerto Rico and live in the regions where the work is being done to get those jobs.
Right.
So the training piece is really key to that.
And it has to be done quickly. You can't sit down and wait for, you know.
It has to be done with great urgency.
Did you stress that in your meetings, or did you already get a sense of it when you were there?
Exactly. I mean, yes, we think it and we live it in Washington, D.C., but folks on the ground know better than anybody the urgency they face. So we also heard it from pretty much everyone we met with. So how do we build training programs, and again, partnerships are going to be key to that. How do we bring employers to the table? How do we make sure labor is represented so workers' rights are protected in all this, right? We have to make sure it's never a given that the jobs that get created are going to be good jobs that pay good salaries, that are make families secure, right? In which workers feel safe going to work, in which they're empowered. But that's a priority for this administration, and we want to be clear that that's the kinds of jobs we want created.
Okay, and then going back to the meeting at La Fortaleza, where you were sitting there with the high-ranking government officials, what was your takeaway from that meeting?
So I think that there is a sense throughout the island about the need for good jobs and training programs that align with those jobs. There's no question. We talked about transformation. We talked about a workforce system that has to work for the needs of Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also a recognition that these decisions can't be made certainly at the federal level, but even at the state level, that there has to be local involvement, right? Communities know their needs, know their assets, know their gaps the most. So we talked about some of that, but we also talked about how, you know, policy has to align with these kinds of priorities. So
did you establish a roadmap of what should come next?
Well, we know there's going to be some, you know, immediate next steps, right? We know that we need to bring together the various components of the workforce system. We talked about one of the challenges, and we see this at the Department of Labor all the time, is trying to encourage more innovation in the workforce system. So we did talk about what do we need to do at the federal and the state level to support and encourage innovation at the local level.
Right.
So that's something that we all know needs to happen, and we're very committed to working together to make that happen.
I mean, the up-and-coming workforce is born with a phone in their hands, with a laptop. I mean, these people need to, and please tell me, you know, if I'm right or not, but they need to come into a job, you know, workplace that is technologically up-to-date, right?
That's right. Okay. That's right. And thinking about how technology could be used to help connect workers to good jobs is also very, you know, it's exciting, right? It's new. And a lot of the jobs that we're talking about do not require a college degree. So these are going to be young people, who fresh out of high school, fresh out of like a Job Corps program. And yes, the way we communicate with them has to match the ways that they
talk,
experience
right.
the world.
That's one set of workers. Those are the workers that perhaps can afford to earn the minimum wage, right? But then there's another group of workers that need to make a little more money because they're parents, because they're heads of household. How are you addressing both groups?
Well, I mean, the president has been very clear that all jobs should be family-sustaining jobs, right? That you know, he came in day one wanting an increase in the federal minimum wage. So we believe that all jobs should be ones where, you know, nobody should have to work full-time year-round and live in poverty. Nobody should have to do 2, 3, or 4 jobs in order to survive. And we heard in our last meeting with labor leaders that this is a reality in Puerto Rico. Now, it's not just Puerto Rico, right? I want to be clear, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying that sort of that the challenges are unique, but some of them are unique. And so moving toward a shared commitment to good jobs. And some of the employers, you know, we've seen this across the economy. Many employers in the tight labor market that we've had have recognized that the way to bring in the workforce they need is to improve their jobs, right? Pay higher wages, create more reliable schedules, provide benefits, right? Childcare.
Growth opportunities even.
Growth opportunities, mm-hmm. upper mobility, without a question. So we definitely are looking at all of those angles, and we want to, you know, at the Department of Labor, we believe there's not a labor shortage. Mm-hmm. It's not that workers don't want to work. It's that the jobs have not been good enough to...
Right, to like, draw them in.
To right. draw them in. Right. And that's something that we have to change, and we can change now.
And that change has to be done quickly because, you know, we hear about it, at least I as a reporter hear about it every day, of so many businesses who have, actually some of them have to close down because they don't have people.
Right.
And
right.
you can't run a business without employees, and some of them are not finding them.
That's right.
So
that's right. And we also hear about, you know, employers and whole industries who say they couldn't hire workers. But then when they raised their wages, for example, there was suddenly a line of people to apply, right? Or the other statistic we see across the economy, frankly, is that in the same industry, employers without a union have a harder time filling their positions uh-huh. than workplaces that have a union, right?
That's interesting.
So people want job security. They want a voice right. on the job, right? They want to know that they're going to be protected and empowered, right? They right. want to feel a sense of autonomy. And so all of those are part of a good job. And we cannot build an economy on poverty wage jobs right. and on right people, you know, working and not being able to get ahead.
I know that you, during the meeting or maybe before or after, I know at some point you sat down with the local labor secretary, right? That agency has been the focus of controversy and good things and bad things for a long time. Recently, they've taken major steps toward adopting technology. They've, you know, built up a pretty good website, but still they fall short with issues regarding, like, for example, the unemployment application process. People will fill out forms and suddenly get an email back saying that there's a little mistake that they can't fix because the system doesn't provide for fixing the mistakes. They have to call, see if they can get an appointment. I spoke to someone the other day who actually lost their job, and the call was for, let me see, it's August. It was for December. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering if that's something that you're aware of, and that if something that you know, because I at some point I think you mentioned working agency with agency, right, to
exactly.
deal with situations.
Yes. So the unemployment insurance system, which you mentioned, but also the workforce system that we've been talking about, they really are federal state programs, mm-hmm. right? They require a partnership. And one of the things I've said is for too long, that relationship has felt like the states are unruly children and the federal government is like a stern parent. Uh-huh. And one is afraid of getting reprimanded.
There's a little bit of, you know, being scared there.
That's right. And that also holds us back on the kind of innovations that we mm-hmm. need. So we, at the Department of Labor, we have both a Unemployment Insurance Office of Modernization, and we're looking to transform our workforce system so that it is focused on job quality and on equity, meaning we don't want to train people for jobs that don't exist. We don't mm-hmm. want to train them just to say they completed a program. We want the training to be tied to good in-demand jobs in industries that are growing. Construction is going to grow. Mm-hmm. You mentioned aerospace, right? Cybersecurity. There's all kinds of work that is in demand, and that's where the training should be focused. But that, looking at the demand side, is sort of a transformative way of thinking about workforce. So mm-hmm. we have to do better in all of these systems, and we want to support states. We certainly want to support Puerto Rico in making
it. Yeah, I mean, because unfortunately, there's always going to be somebody who needs the unemployment benefits. And it seems to me like it shouldn't be a punishment trying to apply for them, especially when you're going through such a stressful time, right? So is it on your to-do list, perhaps, to talk to the local labor department and perhaps the government's information office about adopting different or better systems and getting, they need personnel to be able to handle the volume of calls that they get?
Well, one of the many things that was exposed to the pandemic was just how inadequate our unemployment insurance system is, right? Part of it is the amount of benefits, which is why the federal government, and certainly when President Biden came in, right, one of his first acts was the American Rescue Plan Act. Mm-hmm. So making sure that benefits are adequate, but also, just to your point, the system of delivery was really not what we need. Mm-hmm. So we are laser focused on trying to build an unemployment insurance system that's going to be ready for the next crisis.
Okay.
And I just think that is so key. We can't do that without the states. The other thing we talked about is it's crazy that we don't want our safety net policies to disincentivize work either, right?
Sure.
So we have to make sure that people who are getting unemployment insurance benefits and going back to work don't have to make a choice between mm-hmm. getting benefits that are more than their wages, right? Which is a question of good jobs, mm-hmm. But also a question of policies that will support people's economic security. And so absolutely, this is something that we care very deeply about. This did come up in our conversations.
Okay.
And we clearly have a lot of work to do collectively on that.
Okay. Some people said, you know, it's not worth it for me to go back to work. I make more money sitting at home. But other people also say, I would like to compensate the aid that I get with work, not be punished because
right.
I want to go back to work. But then I would lose some of the benefits for their children, for example. Is there a way to balance that? Or
right.
is it already happening?
I think it is happening.
Okay.
I also think it's somewhat of a mythology that people say, I'm getting so much benefits that I'd rather stay home. Because work has always been about more than just your wages or your salary, right? Work is about purpose and meaning
sure.
and fulfillment and other things. And so that goes back to, you know, why we always say we want an economy where there are good jobs that people are going to want to do, to your earlier point, that they're going to be able to grow in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And experience upward mobility, use their full talents to help rebuild Puerto Rico, rebuild our nation. So we are looking at this through our focus on making sure that the jobs that get created now and in the future are all good jobs.
I'm just curious, do you have a team at the agency that perhaps has keeping its eye on Puerto Rico? Or?
We do. In fact, we have an administration-wide team that is
okay.
keeping its eye on Puerto Rico. That is partly why I'm here.
Okay.
That's partly why my counterpart, the Department of Commerce, was here just,
right.
I think, last week. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I've had my team here on the ground before me, and they'll come here after me. And so this is a all-of-government approach to making sure that Puerto Rico benefits from the investments that are being made and that we emerge from all the crises that people have had to
yeah.
suffer through stronger and not just more resilient, but more prosperous
mm-hmm.
Overall. This is a whole of government approach.
You answered partly. Do you have any specific suggestions or observations about Puerto Rico's labor environment?
Well, I think that, yes, several. So I think we have to make sure that as federal funding comes through for infrastructure, for roads, bridges, broadband, electric vehicle charging stations, clean water, that we not just focus on delivering those things which are important, but that the people who make those things possible are Puerto Ricans,
mm-hmm.
are living in the communities where we're trying to benefit. You know, it doesn't make sense to fix roads and bridges but not have people be able to afford cars to drive
right.
on them.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to put internet in homes but have people not have jobs that allow them to pay the rent or the mortgage in order
or
to
have
use
a computer.
Internet. Or have a computer. Exactly. And so our initial strategy is just to make sure, working with the state, that the federal funding that comes in has good job incentives and incentives to train and to hire locally. We're also very committed through our workforce development investments to embedding priorities for labor management partnerships,
okay.
where workers at the table, employers at the table, coming up with training programs for the jobs that are coming up and making sure that people are hired locally for them. So those are immediate, urgent needs, and we are 100% committed to making them happen.
And I think that may also be part of the solution to the brain drain. You were Mayagüez. Mayagüez has one of the most prestigious universities. People graduate from there and go to NASA. And NASA comes here to recruit them. A lot of engineers and all that. And this happens because the jobs that they want aren't here. Partly, right? Others, it's because, wow, you know, I want to work at NASA. So what you talk about sort of addresses that situation that we've had for a long time, which is I'm graduating, I'm leaving because there's nothing here for me. Having said that, again, it's up to the universities to make sure that they're moving in the right direction.
Yes.
But it's also companies, right? Local companies having slots for people to...
Definitely, right? Local companies...
I mean, the private sector hiring, has to do its thing, right?
The private sector has... That's the... You know, when I say we're committed to delivering, we won't be able to deliver on this alone, right? This is why we are here. This is why we did so many meetings with, you know, cross-sector, right, communities across the island, but also, again, labor unions, workers, mm-hmm. community-based organizations on the ground, employers, labor management partnerships, local workforce leaders, and the state level, because... This work has to be done by everybody working together. But 100%, if we create the jobs here, we talked to so many young people. Mm-hmm. I met with so many young people on this trip mm-hmm. who want to be in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. They want to stay in Puerto Rico. They want to build their future, raise their families here. But we have to make sure that,
that they
the
can,
jobs
right?
and the economy make right. that possible.
So are you done with your meetings?
Yes.
Are you?
For now, I am okay. done. For this trip.
Will you be back?
I will be back.
You will.
Definitely.
Okay. I know you said your team will be back, but will you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
So that means that you're seeing what, the potential?
Oh, without a doubt. Potential, commitment, energy, but also trauma, right? Mm-hmm. Also, you know, years of suffering and broken promises and a feeling that the federal government, you know, was not committed and did not deliver. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we have work to do to demonstrate that we're serious and that we can deliver.
One last thing. A message from you as a representative of the U.S. Department of Labor to local government officials on what they need to do to make all of these plans and promises happen.
So the most important piece of the workforce system is at the local level. It is local leaders, mayors, and local workforce boards who are in communities, who know the jobs that are coming, who are creating incentives for businesses to open, and who know who needs jobs and how to create pathways to those jobs. And so we are encouraging our local partners to be as innovative, as creative, as bold as possible in coming up with programs. And again, you know, mm-hmm. these will, the best ones grow from the ground level, but to partner with employers, to partner with workers, partner with communities and get those done.
And the reason why I asked for your, you know, for a message for government is because the government usually is the one that cuts the check.
Yes.
Funds these programs. So that's why I'm kind of insisting on what your message would be to local government officials, for them to not take 6 months to cut a check, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, there's bureaucracy. It's always
cut
it,
red
it's
tape.
Everywhere.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. You know, move with the urgency that we need. Build in job quality. Again, we don't need training for training's sake. We need training for good jobs. And so we want to measure our outcomes, not just by the number of people who go through a program, but by the people who are trained and placed in a job where they can support their families, where they can grow. And think about equity, right? For us, it's really important not just to focus on the folks who are easiest to reach, but on those who have given up on the system, mm-hmm. who don't believe right. that it works for them or speaks for them, who don't believe that there's a place for them in the economy. We have to stop this language of some people just don't want to work, or, you know, some mm-hmm. people are just going to have bad jobs and that's just the price they have to pay. There's no reason why that has to be the case. So let's create good jobs, then train people for those jobs, and make sure that, you know, they help, that we use the full talent and capacity of people in Puerto Rico to rebuild.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. And maybe we'll speak again when
Absolutely.
You come back.
Absolutely. I would love that. Thank you so much.
If you, our listeners, have a topic you would like to hear us discuss in this space, please send us an email to news@newsismybusiness.com with your suggestions. Until next time.
This episode of Dollars and Cents was brought to you by Oriental, AIG, MCS, and Amy Taylor Fernandez VoiceOvers.